Well, good morning. Thank you for all for being here today to share the Dharma. Can we turn the volume down a little bit? We're getting some feedback. A teisho is not a talk in the usual sense. In giving a teisho, the speaker is attempting to express the Dharma as directly as it can be in words. Listening to a teisho is a form of zazen. Listen with an open mind and heart, without judgment or analysis. Let it flow through you like a river. During the teisho, it's okay to shift your posture if you need to, but do it mindfully and quietly. And however you sit, keep the back straight and the head up. How do we live these days? Do we live in reality? Or do we live in a miasma of thoughts, ideas, notions, preconceptions, and scenarios? Do we see ourselves clearly, or do we only see a constructed image? This morning we'll take up a case in the Wu Men Guan. The Wu Men Guan is the first classical collection of koans that we work with in our curriculum here. It was compiled by Wu Men, a 13th century master, who collected 48 koans, or public cases, sayings and doings of the Tang Dynasty masters. Each koan consists of a main case, a commentary by Wu Men, and a verse also by Wu Men. So, Wu Men Guan, case number 8, Zizhong's carts. The case reads, Yueyan said to a monk, Zizhong made 100 carts. If you take off the wheels and remove the axle, what would be vividly apparent? Wu Men's commentary. If you realize this directly, your eye is like a shooting star and your activity is like a flash of lightning. Wu Men's verse. When the wheel spins, even a master wheelwright cannot follow it. It moves in all directions in heaven and earth, north, south, east, and west. We don't know a great deal about the Song Dynasty master, Yueyan Shangguo. His Japanese name is Getan, and his dates are 1079 to 1152 of the Common Era. He was a Dharma ancestor of Wu Men in the line of Lin Ji, and so he is our direct ancestor as well. Zizhong, whose Japanese name is Ketchu, is a shadowy legend from prehistoric China. He is said to have lived during the Xia Dynasty, sometime in the second millennium BC, or before the Christian era. He is credited with inventing the wheel and cart. Historians are not even certain that there was a Xia Dynasty, let alone anybody named Zizhong. But Zizhong is not just some guy who built a bunch of carts. He exists in a very deep place embedded in China's ancient past. He is the inventor of the wheel and the wheeled vehicle, a major underpinning of civilization. Thus, Zizhong is a myth, the demigod who gave civilization to China. Another mythical hero we are a little more familiar with would be Prometheus. He stole fire from the gods and gave it to human beings, another foundation for civilization. And for that, he was punished by being chained to a rock, his liver devoured by vultures daily, and daily it grows back to be devoured again. In the modern Christian mythos, Lucifer is the fallen angel, the bright star who was determined to outshine heaven. He was the bringer of light, who offered forbidden knowledge to humans. For this presumption, he was cast down and became the Lord of Hell. And of course, there was the serpent, who persuaded Adam and Eve to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge. And in doing so, they are cast out of the Garden of Eden. Dijong made carts, the first wheeled vehicles, the foundation of a culture. So he is one of those who took us from our primordial Edenic innocence to all the ills and sins of civilization and knowledge. We don't know if he was punished in any way. Zizhong made 100 carts. If you take off the wheels and remove the axle, what would be vividly apparent? Zizhong makes carts. We make carts. We also make cars, buildings, jet planes, children, animals, stars, rivers, war, peace, good, evil, ignorance, enlightenment. We make time, past, present, and future. And we make things that exist in past, present, and future. This is how we make the self, ourselves that exist in time and space. We even make gods, and then we worship them. We also make demons and devils, and then we try to destroy them or punish them or something. Anything else? Of course, the list is endless. And that's what it is, a list. An endless list of words, concepts, notions, ideas, thoughts, the full catastrophe. But what is it to make carts, trees, people, and all the rest? In the book of Genesis, we read, "When the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and the birds of the air, he brought them to the man to see what he would call them, for that which the man called each of them would be its name." Thomas Merton considers this naming of names a second creation. But in Buddhism, it is not a second creation. For before names, before thought, before the mind has moved, there is only the uncreated, the unborn. Creation and naming are one and the same, and they are the actions of the mind, or rather, the actions of mind, capitalized. The Buddha said, "We are what we think. All that we are arises with our thoughts. With our thoughts, we make the world." With our thoughts, we make the world. One could say, with our names, we make the world. The naming of names, this creation, is a very powerful thing. Only we humans do it, as far as we know. We ought to be extremely careful about how we do it, when we do it, and to whom we do it. One would hope that names are given only after much thought and consideration. The giving of a name ought to be an act of reverence. Children are named in religious ceremonies of christening. When we take Jukai, we take a Buddhist name in a profound ceremony. The same happens on the rare occasion that someone is given Dharma transmission, another name taken in a ceremony. The most hurtful thing we can do to a fellow being is to call them a name with the intent to denigrate, insult, diminish, or marginalize. Or maybe we do it just out of habit and laziness. This is the very antithesis of the proper practice of naming. What kind of a world do we create with this angry, thoughtless naming? In case 61 in the Blue Cliff Record, Feng Shui said to the assembled monks, "If one particle of dust is raised, the state will come into being. If no particle of dust is raised, the state will perish." In the naming of names, we make the world. It only takes one, just one atom, one particle of dust, one cart, and everything, the 10,000 things appear. It's the nature of cause and effect. If there is one, there is all. It's a quantum leap and a matter of great wonder. But what then? In this creation, have we condemned ourselves to the world of knowledge, good and evil, all the rest of it, the endless samsara of birth and death? Well, if we stop there, yes, we have. Yen Wu comments on that case in the Blue Cliff. "Now tell me, is it right to set up an atom of dust? Or is it right not to set up an atom of dust? When you get here, your great function must become manifest before you'll understand. Is it right to create the 10,000 things, to name the 10,000 things? Or is it right not to create the 10,000 things?" Well, it depends, doesn't it? Too often we assume that because we know the name of something, say a cart or a wheel or an axle, that we know what it is, and nothing else is needed. But we cannot stop at the name. Zizhong made carts. If we stop there, we are in grave error. This is why Yin Yuan continues, "If you take off the wheels and remove the axle, what would be vividly apparent?" In a commentary on another case in the Hegigan Roku, Yen Wu writes, "One day Zhao Zhou was with the head monk looking at a stone bridge. When he asked the head monk, 'Who built this?' The head monk said, 'Li Yang built it.' Zhao Zhou said, 'When he built it, where did he start?' The head monk had no reply. Zhou said, 'You're always talking about the stone bridge, but when you're asked about where it started, you don't even know.' Li Yang built a bridge. Zizhong made carts. Where does the bridge begin? Where do carts begin? Where does the world begin? Where do you begin? Where do you end?" If you take off the wheels and remove the axle, what would be vividly apparent? Take away the wheels, the axle, the seat, the dashboard. What's left? What becomes apparent? And what do you do with it? Can you do anything? Take away the cart, just that cart, and you take away the road it travels on, the ox that pulls it, the passenger that rides it, the destination of the passenger. You take away the mountains, the seas, the stars. In the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 13, "As he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, 'Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here.' And Jesus answering said unto him, 'Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down.'" Jesus was not talking about some sort of demolition project. When one truly sees a building or a cart, it is a no building, a no cart. Take away one, you take away all. Take away all that which is made, carts, cars, buildings, jet planes, children, animals, stars, rivers, war, peace, good, evil, ignorance, enlightenment, gods and demons. And then what is left? The poet Mark Van Doren writes, "What name? They have not heard the sound, nor in their silence thought the thing. They are not notified they live, nor ask who set them wandering. Simply they are. And so with us. And they would say it if they spoke. And we might listen, and the world be uncreated at a stroke." From the very beginning, there has never been a single thing. But that's a rather bleak prospect. In taking away, do we go back to some sort of primordial innocence? Do we return to that state of Eden, that of the newborn? I don't think so. Enlightenment is not a return to anything. You cannot go back. You can only pass through. Go beyond. Go beyond making the cart. Go beyond taking away. Go beyond form. Go beyond emptiness. Go beyond going beyond. It's not easy. The cart doesn't want to go away. It doesn't even want to be clearly seen for what it is. We don't want to be seen for what we truly are. Wu Men's commentary. If you realize this directly, your eye is like a shooting star and your activity is like a flash of lightning. We must realize this cart directly, unfiltered through the intellect, judgment, opinion, and so on. We made the cart, then we must let go of the cart, and then we have to let go of letting go and take hold of it directly in a completely different way. Only when we let go of the names, when we let go of notions about separate past and future, can you grasp reality directly. When you get here, your great function must become manifest before you'll understand, Yan Wu. We don't have to be afraid of names. It's okay to call a cart, a tree, or a mountain if we clearly realize what we're doing. To call it a cart is not to limit anything in any way. To name a name is to honor a manifestation of Buddha nature. The Diamond Sutra makes that point over and over. A mountain is not a mountain, thus it is called a mountain. What becomes vividly apparent? See clearly one thing, you see clearly all. Grasp one thing directly, you grasp all. Again, it's the law of cause and effect. To see form is not to deny emptiness. To see emptiness is not to deny form. How do we make this cart in such a way that we transcend form and emptiness, or build a bridge? How do we live our lives that way? Wu Men's verse. When the wheel spins, even a master wheelwright cannot follow it. It moves in all directions in heaven and earth, north, south, east, and west. It spins in all directions and no direction. No one can follow it. This is complete liberation. The wheel is free. Birds are free. You are free. But this is not the liberation of the ego self. It's the complete relinquishment of ego and the liberation of everything. The wheel spins, the bird sings, the traffic roars, a child laughs, the pickpocket lifts a wallet. No one can follow, describe, imagine, or conceive of it. And yet it's all around us. It is each one of us. It manifests in every moment, every step, every breath. Together with all beings, we realize the way.